You're listening to the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast, brought to you by Exmark Manufacturing. 30 years of pioneering spirit and innovation have resulted in legendary durability, all-day comfort, and unmatched cut quality. Go check them out at Exmark.com. And Crest Commercial, introducing the 8-Minute Cyber System, the industry's first truly game-changing innovation in commercial battery-powered OPE. Professional landscapers can now replace their gas powered equipment without sacrificing performance, power, or runtime. For more information or to find a Crest dealer near you, visit Crest.com. You're listening to the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast, the weekly show sharing proven methods and systems in marketing, equipment, and customer service, educational and motivational, to help make your lawn care business an overwhelming success. Now, here's your host, Julio Tomei.
Welcome, Lawn Care Nation, to another episode of the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast. I'm your host, Julio Tomei, and this is episode number 456, entitled Tech I Use for Social Media. Well, hello, everybody, and thanks again for joining me this week on another episode of the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast. Really appreciate you guys tuning in each and every weekend, of course, for the questions, comments, and feedback that you guys send through. Like I say, each and every week, I really do appreciate that. If you're so inclined, I'd also appreciate if you could drop a review on Apple Podcasts. That would be very much appreciated. If you get, you know, especially if you're getting value from the episodes each and every week over the course of, you know, the 7, 8, 9 years or so that it's, I've been doing these episodes. So, yeah, I'd appreciate a review if possible. As you can hear, I'm a little bit under the weather, so I'm going to keep this episode, at least try to keep this episode a little bit short. I have developed a cold and am unfortunately dealing with that in the last few days, and runny nose and sort of phlegm in the throat and sort of that sort of thing. So I'm going to keep the episode a little bit shorter than I normally would, just so I can, you know, kind of get through it a little bit easier. So I apologize in advance if I'm having to clear my throat and stuff throughout this episode. But it's like I say, you know, with it doesn't matter what you're doing in life, whether it's your lawn care business, whether it's YouTube videos, whether it's you know, any other social media podcasts and things like that, discipline is that number one key to success, is doing the things, making yourself do the things that you don't want to do when you know they need to be done, basically, right? So I don't feel like doing a podcast episode at the exact moment, but it needs to go out just because I'm feeling a bit under the weather. But you got to do it, right? The show must go on regardless of how you're feeling. So it's just one of those things. And like I said, I apologize for having to clear my throat and feeling a bit under the weather. Hopefully, you guys, I'm recording this on Monday, the 8th of April. It is a solar eclipse day for a lot of you that may be listening to this. And hopefully you guys were able to enjoy the solar eclipse today. Unfortunately, where I was in my part, Canada, the West Coast, we were only really supposed to get like a 28% eclipse. So it wasn't a full eclipse. It was just a partial eclipse. But it ended up being really wet and a really nasty day. It was raining pretty heavily throughout the day. So it was all cloudy and gray and stuff. So for me, there was absolutely no eclipse at all. It didn't even make a difference because of it being only a 28% eclipse for where, you know, where I'm from, where I'm at, there was no darkness or anything that happened, because there'd be, you know, still way too much sunlight, visible even there, even with the overcast sky and everything like that. So it literally, like, I was watching the time, and it was supposed to start here on the West Coast, at 10:15, I think it was. or 10:30, something like that. And then it was supposed to peak at like, you know, like maximum blackout if you were in like an area where it would be like the total eclipse was going to be like 11:30 my time. And then it was going to wrap up like a little while later after that, like around 12:30 or something like that. And it was like, I was like watching the time throughout the whole times, and it was like, there was absolutely no change outside and stuff like that. It was like just gray, overcast, rainy, just a normal, typical Pacific Northwest type of day. So yeah, I was a little bit bummed that I didn't get to see even, you know, a little partial eclipse. But the last time that there was a total eclipse from, you know, a visible where I'm from was the 2017 eclipse. And that one, I actually have a lawn related story with that one that I thought would be kind of fun to share. And it has to do with one of my favorite mowers, one of my all-time favorite mowers, my 36-inch Exmark Turf Tracer. So if you guys remember previously, probably many years ago now, when I first got that particular machine, I'd always, you know, heard about these, you know, 36-inch walk behinds being like the, you know, like every lawn care business should have one, that sort of thing. And this is going back many years, obviously before the popularity of stand-on mowers and stuff like that. And being where I'm from in the West Coast, the little corner where I'm at, a lot of mowers, a lot of brands and types of mowers were quite a bit behind on what happens. Sort of like mainstream for mowers and stuff. We get them like a few years later, like stand-on mowers and stuff were prevalent on social media, lots of companies using them. And I had never even seen one before in person here for, you know, at least a couple of years until we finally started getting them. Now you see them everywhere. So it's just one of those things. But I remember after my equipment got stolen, and previously to that, when my trailer got stolen in 2015, I had a John Deere tractor that I was using for large properties, because I didn't have too many large properties. It was mainly, like always, I'm always doing the small push mower type jobs and stuff like that. And on the podcast, I talked about back then my like three piece equipment challenge of like, because I had everything stolen and I had to replace a couple of pieces of equipment like right away the next day so I could continue working. Until kind of waiting for the insurance and stuff to come through and all that sort of stuff. So I bought a 21-inch, the Honda HRC 216. I bought, steel combi system, and I bought a steel handheld blower, because that's what I was using up to that point, and that's what had gotten stolen. So I replaced those three pieces. And then I thought there was actually a few lawns that I was doing. Like I said, I didn't do many large lawns, but there was a few that were that I would use the John Deere tractor on. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to do like a self-imposed three-piece, you know, equipment challenge where I mow every lawn with just a 21-inch push mower for the remainder of the season, because this was like August. That actually was July, I believe, July 15th, I think it was, that my trailer got stolen. So it was basically, I was like, you know what, August, September, you know, then we're at the basically the end of season. It's like three more months. I'll just make do with three pieces, and then I'll figure out what I want to replace. Because at that time, like I said, I had been hearing about, you know, some other mowers and stuff, and was thinking, you know what, as much as I like the tractor, I wouldn't mind looking at some other options, and you know, trying something different. And so over that course of that next coming winter, so going into 2016 and stuff, started looking at different options and stuff, and continued to use my 21-inch mower and stuff. And finally, I had found some walk behinds, or at least one to start with. It was a really old Exmark Viking, and the Vikings are the like the Turf Tracer, but they're the fixed deck versions, so they don't have the floating deck. And like I said, they're very rare around here. you know, at the time I couldn't find anything. It was like the only thing that was available. The price was right. It was a pretty well-used machine, but it's still in, you know, pretty decent shape. They're, you know, built like tanks and stuff. So I thought, you know what, it looks good. The only thing I didn't like about it was that it was super loud. It was extremely loud, but it had like the pistol grip type controls on it and stuff, and I thought, okay, whatever, like I'll try it and buy it. It wasn't exactly what I wanted, but again, they were so rare to come by that I just bought it anyways. And ironically, I had it for about a month before, and it's funny because I kept looking on Craigslist despite buying that Viking. And literally almost to the day, like a month later, the Turf Dracer popped up on Craigslist. So I, you know, had arranged with a guy, you know, messaging back and forth. And turned out that the guy was shutting down his lawn care business. He actually had another Viking as well. He had a 36-inch Viking, and he had the 36-inch Turf Dracer. He had an aerator. I think it was like a Ryan aerator. I think he had a power rake. He had some pieces of equipment left. So he was shutting down his lawn care business, and he was selling everything. He was moving to Mexico, apparently, is what he told me. And he told me that, you know, he had been selling stuff over the course of the last, you know, month or so, and time was running out. Like, he was literally leaving to Mexico, like, in the next few days. He said, if you want to meet, the only day I can meet is, and he, like, told me the day, and he said, you know, if not everything else that's left, he says, I'm just going to give to one of my buddies that I know that owns a lawn care business. I'm just going to give him all the rest of the equipment. He can have it and that sort of stuff. So if you want to buy anything, it has to be on this day. That day was the day of the solar eclipse in 2017. And I was like, you know, I'd been hearing all this, you know, commotion, like probably a lot of you guys have heard leading up to this eclipse today. You know, and so there was a lot of hype and stuff ramped up about it and stuff. So I was like, oh, I don't want to really miss it. And where I was, where I'm at in 2017, it was going to be visible as a total eclipse. So this is, you know, pretty, you know, a rare occurrence in one's lifetime to see a total eclipse. So, you know, I didn't want to miss it and stuff. But again, I was like, these mowers come up so rarely, and, you know, that Turf Tracer was newer. It was in much better shape, and it had the floating deck, so I could do the height adjustments and stuff. So I was like, I can't miss that. And he's saying this is my only opportunity. Like, literally, he wanted to meet during the time of the eclipse, which was super weird. So I had to leave and I remember my family being home. So it was probably summertime because my family was home. And they were getting ready to watch it. And I had to go meet this stranger to go buy this, go look at this Turf Tracer, right? So I get to the guy's house, and it was still, you know, daylight, but it was starting to get, you know, thing as we were talking. I remember him living in a cul-de-sac, and, you know, I was looking at the mower and stuff in his garage, and it looked good. Then he pulled it out onto the street, like into the cul-de-sac, to you know, run it and show me that it all works and stuff like that, so I could try it out and things like that. And I was still pretty shaky on them. I had only had mine, my Viking, like I said, for 30 days previous, but it was the summertime, so I wasn't doing regular mows, and I didn't have a lot of large clients to use it on, so I had not used, had a lot of practice on that mower. So still kind of shaky, trying to, you know, try it out and stuff like that, but was, you know, well enough to use it. But it was funny because I remember trying it and stuff, and then, you know, kind of getting off of it and turning it off and stuff. And then we were chatting a little bit about it, and then the eclipse happened. So I'm like with a stranger in his cul-de-sac with this Turf Tracer out there. And then, like, you know, within a few minutes, like, everything went black and dark, right? And it was like, you know, dusk or nighttime looking. Not quite like nighttime dark, but it was, you know, very, very dark there for a few seconds. It was just so eerie and just also kind of Really neat to experience that in the middle of the day, to see kind of the sun kind of disappear like that, and everything just, you know, the darkness that comes about, you know, just kind of really makes you think about things. But it was just kind of interesting that it was like, I'm out there, you know, looking at this more. Like, I was like, I didn't want to. I wanted to be with my family experiencing the eclipse, but that's how it happened. And I ended up buying that turf tracer there. The eclipse ended, everything went back to daylight, and then I had to go to the bank and get money and all that sort of stuff. So to go pay the guy after we negotiated a price and all that sort of stuff. And I remember he's like, well, I'll just go with you to the bank. And he actually told me just load up the machine onto my trailer. So I loaded up the machine, and he followed me in his vehicle. We went to the bank, and then took some money out, gave it to him, and we signed some a sales receipt type thing, and that was it. But it was kind of funny that it happened during a total eclipse, like literally doing the transaction during a total eclipse, because that was like the only time the guy had available. He was literally bags packed and ready to go on this trip, and just had these last few pieces of equipment left, and was going to give the rest of it to his buddy. So just kind of an interesting memory that came back when I started hearing all about the eclipse that was happening today, and it being like a full eclipse in some of the southern states and stuff. And I just started thinking about that. Oh, yeah, like the last time we had the full eclipse was in 2017. That's when I bought the turf tracer. It was literally like during the full total eclipse is when I was negotiating and trying out the turf tracer back in 2017. So it was kind of funny to kind of think about that. So this week's episode, I wanted to chat about when I was at the Equip Expo there in October. I ran into a bunch of guys that a lot of you guys may know from social media. You know, it's always fun. It's always a good gathering place, and you know, a great way to touch base and to network and all that sort of stuff. And I actually got a couple of questions, multiple times from people, that I was doing, those like in-person interviews with and stuff like that. And, they would ask me about my camera setups and the equipment I was using. And then it would lead into conversations about, what I use to film YouTube videos and things like that when I'm at, you know, on a client's property or things like that. And what else I use for social media and how I do the podcast and things like that. And I would have these private conversations with people. And likewise, I get questions all the time from winter interview series guests as well. After we record an episode, we typically will then spend some time chatting after an episode, and some of those same questions come about with people wanting to pick my brain about social media and things like that, and filming YouTube videos and things, and what I'm using and that sort of stuff, or how I'm recording the podcast and all that sort of stuff, and facilitating like the phone call through being recorded and all that sort of stuff. So I thought, you know what, let me do an episode about this, because if those guys are asking more than one person asking me, especially there at Equip Expo, it was like literally three or four people that were asking me about equipment setups and stuff like that when it comes to technology. And then again, multiple times I've had these discussions with winter interview series podcast guests as well. So I thought, you know what, if those people are asking, then there's probably a lot of you guys, in the audience too, that are wondering about that as well, thinking about maybe filming your work, whether it's for promoting your lawn care business to gain clients and that sort of stuff, or could be because, like I heard from some of you guys, thinking about starting a YouTube channel, thinking about doing that sort of stuff and just sharing and kind of doing the sort of same things that I'm doing and other guys are doing as well. And thinking about that. So I thought I would share all of the things, and there's some kind of neat little kind of devices and things that I use that might be of interest to you guys. So let's take a quick break, and then we'll get right into it right after this. So stay tuned.
In lawn care today, with the right equipment, you can do jobs quickly and correctly. Hi, Jonathan Guineri here. As a product manager at Z Turf Equipment, I'm focused on innovations that help you get jobs done faster without sacrificing the quality your customers expect. From our acclaimed Z-Spray spreader sprayers to our Z-Aerate line and beyond, you can do more in less time. Visit ZTurfEquipment.com today to learn more about our innovative line of products.
Kress is leading the transition from gas-powered lawn equipment for professional use with the industry's first truly game-changing innovation in battery-powered OPE. The Kress 8-Minute Cyber System allows Kress-made 60-volt batteries to fully charge in 8 minutes or less. Now, professional landscapers can replace their gas-powered equipment without sacrificing performance, power, or runtime. And with a full line of equipment benchmarked against gas-powered products, landscapers can finally take charge of their business and make the switch to battery. For more information or to find a dealer near you, visit Kress.com. Kress, we power the professionals.
All right. So tech that I use for social media, the first thing I'm going to attack here is the podcast, because it's probably the easiest one to cover, especially nowadays. If we were to ask me a few years ago, it was a lot more difficult. All of the different pieces you had to kind of put together to make a podcast work. Technology has come along such a long way that it is so simple to do a podcast now. And the main piece of equipment that I use is called a Rodecaster Pro. This is a device that looks basically like a soundboard. It's got your mic inputs on the back. It's got built-in sounds, sound effects, very high-quality effects like reverb, noise cancellation, all those types of things. It's got a dedicated track for phone calls. It's got a dedicated USB track. So you can have a USB device like an iPad or things like that connected. It's got a dedicated Bluetooth track. Again, you can have something like an iPad or something connected via Bluetooth to that particular track. And then it's got a separate headphone mixer with separate headphone volumes for each of the mic inputs. So it's got four mic inputs on separate tracks. So you could have basically like four live guests on microphones, have each of their volumes to what they're hearing in their own headphones adjusted specifically for each guest. And then it's got a soundboard with 8 sound pads on it that you can program with multiple screens. So it's got this nice big color screen on it to check your levels and all that stuff. So as you're talking, you've seen the levels pop up and down. You can switch those sound pads. You can load different sounds onto them. So for me, this has made it really easy. So traditionally, when I was doing the podcast many years ago, I was recording it directly onto my computer using a program called Audacity. It was a great program to use for doing like podcasts and stuff like that. And I would have my intro music and things like that all pre-recorded as sound files. And then I'd have to go in after the fact and do any sort of audio editing. It would sometimes take me many, many hours, especially if there was any sort of clippings or noises or things like that that needed to be removed because there was no real like live noise cancellations or things like that that you could do with that. So there would be a lot of editing afterwards. I'd have to put in the intro music, have to cut up the file, the audio file, like the actual talking file, and move things apart to fit in like the commercial ads and stuff like that. It took a long time. With the Rodecaster Pro now, I do everything on the fly. So basically, I hit the record button. I hit one of the sound pads. It has that intro music that plays right at the beginning. Then get into me talking, of course. I unmute my mic, get in there and talk. And then, when I get into doing the ads again, then I've got some pre-recorded ads for different Xmark ads. I've got the Kress ad, got the outro music, all that sort of stuff right there that I can hit basically at any time and get those things going. So if I wanted to like play an Xmark ad, I can just hit a button.
At Xmark, we've poured decades.
right? And then if I tap it again, it stops. If I don't tap it, it plays through. Get the Crest one. You got the Crest one going. If I hit the, you know, the outro music one there, and it goes there, and so on and so forth. You guys get the idea with that. Now, there's been times, if you guys remember, with one of the previous sponsors of the show, Jobber, where me and Murray, who was with Jobber at the time, I came up, we wanted to do something different, and I came up with the idea of having the Jobber Minute, where basically we kind of did an educational piece in each episode of sharing some, you know, a fact about a Jobber and something that you could do about Jobber. So we recorded all these sort of Q&A type ads where you know, I would ask a question and then Murray would answer it and that sort of thing. And we put it together as sort of that was the ad. So there was a bunch of those, like 14 different versions of that. So for that, to make it easier, what I did was I had a sound board, basically a sound effects app on my iPad that was very similar. It was just square sound pads. And I had each of the pads loaded up with a different Jobber ad on it. And then I had it coming through the connected through Bluetooth to the Rodecaster Pro. And then, you know, when I wanted to play a certain Jobber ad, it was kind of neat because when I would start like the run of like 14 different ads or so, I could reset the app and it would change the color of the board, all of the buttons to one color. So then I could go to the first one and hit play. And once it played, it would change the color of that particular soundboard or sound effect. And then, you know, the next week when I went to play it again, I wouldn't have to remember what, you know, which one I played on last week's episode because it would be colored differently, right? And then I would just go down in sort of chronological order and just go to the next one and press that one. Once that one was done, it would change color and I knew, hey, that one's done. So then the next week, I would just play the next one in line sort of thing. And it made it really easy. But the Rodecaster Pro was a fantastic investment. Traditionally, I was also using a fancy boom arm in my home office, recording onto the computer with an Audio Technica microphone. It was one that I had heard about on a lot of podcasts about how to do podcasts early on. It's a fantastic mic. Sounds fantastic, very clear, but very economical. I started to, during the pandemic, when that happened and everybody was at home, I couldn't use the home office as often. So I went to the broadcast style headset with the boom mic. So I'm using this one's an Audio Technica as well. It's very popular. Most of the guys that are doing a podcast now are using this style. Fantastic if you're doing like mobile podcasts and stuff because you plug it in, your guests have headphones already with the mic built in. It's broadcast quality. So the microphone is very good on it, and it's a dynamic mic. So it's made to pick up what's directly in front of the mic, not behind or around it. So it's very good at cutting out the sounds. Now you think about, you know, where these are typically used, and when you see them is in sort of typically in sports situations. You'll see whether it's you know, an NHL hockey game, and you see the commentators talking, and they'll have, you know, those broadcast mics with the headphones on, or, you know, the football games, you'll see them. Or even if you're a fan of like WWE wrestling and stuff like that, and you'll see you know, the guys sitting at the table side, commentators there, and they have the thing, right? Because it's really good. It blocks out all of the noise around you because you got your headphones that are built in on, and then it's got the mic that is specifically there to pick up just the sound in front of the mic. So if you're thinking about doing a podcast or something like that, then it's a great setup to pick up you know, a broadcast style headset like this, and a Rodecaster Pro, just a fantastic setup. I also have the Rode Pod mic as well. I had gotten that as an upgrade to that original mic for the boom arm, but that was just around the pandemic as well. So I didn't get to use that one too much. I use it from time to time, but I just prefer throwing on the headphones and the mic, and also just keeps it more consistent, even if I'm inside the office recording an episode. Or, like I said, during the pandemic when everybody was home and I needed to be more mobile, a lot of the episodes, including the one right now that I'm recording as I speak right now, I am sitting in the garage in the back of my wife's SUV because it's a quiet place. And it's basically actually one of the places I prefer to record because it really is... kind of like a studio setting. I think about it, like I said, I came from an audio recording background. I went to school for audio engineering. When I look at a recording studio, it's basically a room inside of a room with dead space around it, air basically, because it doesn't transmit the sound. And basically that's what I'm doing. I'm inside a vehicle that is insulated from the ground because it's on rubber tires filled with air. I'm inside the car. It's got a cloth interior, so a lot of soft surfaces to absorb sound. It's got some glass as well that is reflecting sound, but the mic does a good job being a directional mic. And then I'm inside the garage, which is another layer or basically layer of protection against outside noises because of the walls and stuff like that are insulated from the outside. So in I just prefer recording in that setting, and it has worked out really well for me. So anytime I don't have a chance to record in the home office or something like that, if there's just too many people around, it's just easier for me to move myself into the garage, into the SUV, and record an episode there than having to ask everybody to be quiet and that sort of stuff. The only exception to that is in the wintertime when I'm doing those winter interview series episodes, because I'm recording those during the day and it's wintertime and it's freezing in the garage. So I'm not going to be in the garage in those at those times. So that about covers the podcast side of it. Pretty basic Rodecaster Pro. There's actually some other, it's very similar models, from other like Tascam and things like that have come up with smaller ones, more, cost efficient ones. The Rodecasters are still pretty pricey, but just really high quality piece of gear. So the next thing will be the videos, YouTube videos. So this is probably the biggest thing. Now, of course, if you're thinking about starting like a YouTube channel, whether it's for promoting yourself or promoting, in terms of your lawn care business to, you know, gain more customers and that sort of stuff, feature your work and things like that, or whether it's you want to do social media stuff for like equipment reviews and stuff like that. Your phone probably is your number one thing. It's a camera that you always have. It's always in your pocket, especially this day and age. And any camera phone right now, any smartphone is going to have, any modern smartphone, I should say, is going to have a fantastic camera on it. I'm always actually still amazed at how good the cameras on smartphones are. I'm still rocking an iPhone 12 Max or Plus Max. Yeah, Max, I think it is, with three cameras on it. And I'm always amazed at how good the video quality is of that and the slow motion and things like that if you need it. So I will use that from time to time. Especially for B-roll shots or just quick shots, things that I need for if I'm just recording stuff for like vertical video for like stories and things like that. It's so simple to just, you know, pop that out of your pocket, especially if you're doing like talking head stuff where, you know, it's just you talking, maybe pointing out some work, what you're working on, that sort of thing, or maybe, you know, showing a piece of equipment or something like that, just doing a quick walk around for Instagram, things like that. That's probably going to be your number one useful thing is your cell phone. Besides that, the next thing that I use probably the most for most videos I started out going back on my YouTube channel probably up until about, what was GIE? The GIE, the very first GIE that I went to was 2019. So just before, I would say probably about 2017, 2018. So I started the YouTube channel and started sharing content and all that stuff in 2015. So from 2015 to about 2017, 2018, every video that you see on my YouTube channel and Instagram up to that point, everything would have been on my iPhone. And at that time, it would have been either an iPhone 6, even an iPhone 5. Can't remember how far back that went, but it would have been some version of an iPhone. From 2018 on, I had purchased a Canon SL2 DSLR camera to do some videos. And a lot of the videos that I have done over the course of the years that are part of my How to Start a Lawn Care Business series or playlist on YouTube, where you see me in my garage workshop with my shelves behind me and different products on display and stuff. And I'm doing part of a review. A lot of actual review videos I did too were in that space. We're done with the Canon SL2. It's a great camera. I still use it to this day for certain videos, especially videos where I'm inside in my home office. I did some over the winter time, different topics and stuff. It's nice for that and in the garage because of the different lens interchangeability with it and being able to manually zoom that lens by turning the actual lens, right? So you can crop in and crop out of what you want in the frame. Makes it very good. Obviously, it's got a much bigger sensor. It allows a lot more light. So in the garage and stuff where it's a bit darker, I'm not using any sort of fancy lights and stuff. It's just the ambient lights of the garage. It always captured a good quality picture because the lens is so big, allowing a lot of light to be gathered. So it was a very nice camera for that. Not top of the line, not crazy, but good compact size for GIE and even the last Equip Expo. I was using that SL2. I took that with me. I had the 10-18 lens on it, which is kind of like the vlogger lens. So that camera comes with a, I think it's 18-55 kit lens. But then I had purchased the 10-18 lens, which is a lot more, think kind of GoPro type lens where it's much wider field of view. So, because you're holding it, close up, if I was using like just a kit lens and you're trying to vlog, you're holding the camera towards you, you basically just have your face in the frame. It wouldn't be able to zoom out enough to see around you. So the 10-88 lens allows a lot more of around you. So if you look at those videos that I did just this last Equip Expo, all of those videos were done with the Canon SL2 with that 10-18 lens on it. And I was using the DJI mic set. So these were the wireless lapel mics with a little charging case. Fantastic little set of microphones. I had actually purchased those right before the Equip Expo and started using them. And then when I came back from Equip, I heard rumors of DJI going to be releasing a second version of those. And I looked at my return window and I was still within a return window. So I actually returned those mics in anticipation of the new versions coming out. And they have since come out in sort of various ways. At first, it was with the new DJI Pocket 3 camera that came out. They had sort of the version of the DJI mic too. But I had was waiting for like the actual standalone kit with the two microphones, just like the one I had purchased, because it was going to have a couple of new features. But I hadn't purchased it yet because I also had a Rode Wireless Go mic, like the very first wireless Rode mic. But it was just like the single mic version, not a two mic version. And I wanted the two mic version to be able to do those interviews when you're on, you know, things like Equip Expo and things like that. So I haven't bought the new DJI one yet, but I probably will be doing that fairly soon as well. And for now, I've been using using the Rode single wireless microphone kit. But that setup with that camera, you don't need a lot if you're going to do something like that. But just a good basic DSLR camera or mirrorless camera or something like that. If you want to, get some bit higher quality footage, be able to have more controls over lighting and things like that, white balance, if you want to get a little bit more artistic with that sort of stuff, and some different options. But it's not something, I know a lot of guys will carry those around. I remember seeing, Brian's Lawn Maintenance and stuff like that with his big Canon DSLR camera. And that's what he was carrying around in the truck and doing all his videos and stuff with on the road. And for me, it's not something I would do, just because it's a lot bigger. It's harder to be inconspicuous with it. It's also a lot more fragile of a camera to have if it falls off a tripod or things like that. I liked it more for just the controlled environments indoors, that sort of stuff, or at a trade show for that sort of stuff. For all of the videos that I do when I'm out and about, for the daily kind of mowing and all that sort of stuff, the majority of the ones you're going to see on my YouTube channel are an action camera, a DJI Osmo Action. And I actually have the very first version of that, the Osmo Action 1. And that is by far one of my favorite cameras still to this day. I think they're up to the Action 4 now. And that camera, that Action 1, is still such a fantastic camera for what it is. There's never any overheating issues like you hear with a lot of GoPro cameras. There's no issues in terms of like stability and stuff. It's got the Rock Steady system, so it works fantastically. I've got a little handle on it, so I can do like vlogging, and the handle kind of extends upwards to give it a little bit extra distance. It's got little tripod feet on it that I can open up and set on like some stairs or something while I'm out mowing a lawn, things like that. It's got the little front screen on it as well. So it's got the big screen on the back, but then a smaller screen on the front. So you can kind of frame yourself if you are, filming anything. The majority of the videos I do for my YouTube channel are filmed, especially all the outdoor ones. They're all filmed on that DJI Osmo Action camera. It's just 1080p. I prefer, filming, all my videos in 1080p, the DJI will do 4K, but I've just got it set on 1080p, 30 frames a second. I think that's more than enough for YouTube, especially with most of the videos being viewed on mobile devices like phones and tablets and things like that. There is a segment year over year. I was looking at statistics showing that a lot more YouTube now, the adoption for watching YouTube on televisions is growing more and more. So that might make the case for trying to do some 4K stuff this year and seeing how that goes. So I might, turn on that setting to 4K and start trying some 4K and seeing how that goes and kind of looking at it on my TV and seeing if that makes a difference. One of the biggest things with 4K though footage is the editing. If you're going to be doing some editing, and that is just needing a computer and the storage space and stuff to edit 4K and things like that. Up to this point, just before Christmas, so from 2015 till winter of 2023, I was using a 2014 MacBook Pro with 8 gigs of RAM, and I think it had a Intel i3 processor, had 128 gigs of storage. Bare bones, basic, MacBook Pro from the 2014 era. It did everything fantastic. I was using iMovie, and it all did fantastically. Ironically, I kind of fell down a rabbit hole during that last Equip Expo with those DJI mics, and that is that they have a feature where you can turn a safety audio track on. So instead of having two separate tracks, like say for left and right audio, and having they have the option where you can have, like, if you're using both mics, you can have one person's audio being recorded on the right and the other person's recording on the left, so that you can then in editing adjust the volume separately for each person. If one person's talking quieter, you can raise their volume, all sorts of stuff. But then they have another option where it just mixes the people's audios together on each of the tracks, but on one track, they call it like a safety track sort of thing, and it'll record that audio 6 decibels lower. That way, if you're in a noisy environment and there's any clipping, you can always use the lower recorded audio to kind of rescue that track. So not knowing how much noise and stuff was going to be at Equip Expo, I thought, hey, let me use that safety track thing. I get home, all my audio, all those videos were done with that, and I get into iMovie, and it doesn't give you the option to choose left or right audio only. It's using the left and right audio. So it looked fine when I was editing it on the computer, but then once I put headphones on to kind of listen, I noticed the volume on one side was like much lower than the volume on the other side. And it was like that for all the footage because I had that safety track on. So I had to find a way to pick audio levels and stuff. And from that and doing some research, I discovered DaVinci Resolve, and they had a free version of their video editing software. And it's like crazy software. This stuff is absolutely amazing. And it is like full-fledged pro video editing software. And they have a free version that is like 90% full-featured. There's some other features that they don't include. But like the majority of the stuff, including like the audio, picking left and right track, which one you want to use and all that sort of stuff. So I downloaded the free version of that back in December, and I was able to edit all those Equip Expo videos, learned how to use that software, and use the audio, and it all turned out fine. But with switching to that and kind of learning how to use it, I went down the rabbit hole of what's available, like what you can do with that software is absolutely amazing. And within a month of using it, I had purchased a license for the full studio version. And even bought a hardware keyboard with a scroll wheel to be able to edit videos a lot faster. And then from that, I saw that my computer was really not working too good with that. So then I made a big jump into a brand new MacBook Pro with the M2 Max chip in it. Went from like the computer I used for many years being like the basic MacBook Pro entry level 8 gigs of RAM to like this top of the line MacBook Pro with like their highest level chip and tons of RAM, 38 core GPU. I was like, oh, now I can like do anything I want in terms of like video editing and that sort of stuff. So going into the future now, I'll have a lot more power to be able to do 4K videos and things like that. But for what has it been, like 8 years? It's all been on the basic system, putting out like 400 and something videos with that very basic system. The nice thing, going back to that little DJI camera as well, the Osmo Action, it's got a little USB port on the side. There's lots of accessories and things you can get it for, like cages and things like that. But there's a tiny little, little mic input that you can get for them. And it's very small and streamlined. It just plugs into that USB port on the side, directly right to the side of the camera. And then you can plug a microphone into it. So using like the Rode wireless microphones or the DJI mics, whatever you want to do. Very simple. It's not like
the GoPro ones that have like the big dongle that hangs to connect an external mic. This one's just like this tiny little thing that just plugs into the side, has an audio jack on it, and you plug it in. A very nice, self-contained sort of thing that you put in. Very simple to carry around, but that's what I use mostly. The other thing nice about the DJI Osmo Action camera, especially that first one, is the lens cover is circular. So unlike the GoPro ones that are square, this one's circle, and it's threaded, so it comes off the little like screen protector on front of the lens, and you can interchange them. So if you ever drop it, shatter it, scratch it, that sort of stuff, it just unscrews and you put a new one on there. So just a fantastic camera. The next one, though, this one's kind of my little secret weapon. This camera I carry with me on a daily basis, and it's absolutely just a fantastic little camera. It's one that not a lot of people know about, and it's pretty crazy. It's called the Insta360 Go, and I've got the Go 2 version. There's now a Go 3 version as well, but I've got the Go 2. And this camera, ironically, I kind of stumbled upon because I was looking for those 360 type cameras. And I bought for a short while, I bought an Insta360 1X2, I think it was. And it's one of those like 360 cameras that come with like the selfie stick. And then when you mount it on something like and you record, the selfie stick is kind of in its kind of hidden field of view, and it blends the two cameras that do the 360 view around it, so the selfie stick disappears, so you can't see. So when you're holding it, it just kind of looks like somebody's filming you, but you can't see that they're holding the stick or anything. It's pretty neat technology, and I was able to use it. It was great for things like if I was backpack blowing using something like a tube throttle type backpack blower, like the Echo ones that I had, things like that, because you still had a free hand that you could hold the selfie stick. And what I would do is I would hold it in one hand with a selfie stick going behind me and then the 360 camera behind me. So it would look like if I was blowing, when I was filming that footage, it looked like somebody was following me filming. And you couldn't actually see that unless, you kind of looked at my hand and saw that I was kind of gripping something, but you couldn't see what I was gripping. You just saw sort of the shape of my hand was holding something. But it like completely erases like the selfie stick that you're holding. So you just looks like this camera's kind of floating around behind you and stuff. And it was good for that, but that was really the only thing it was good for. I tried buying, like magnets for it, magnet mounts with like 1/4-inch thread on it. So you could stick it onto a mower and then like extend. I thought, you could extend the selfie stick, screw it on there, 'cause it had like a 1/4-inch thread on the bottom of the selfie stick. You could stick it on there. And then, be using like the turf tracer and stuff like that. The problem is that things like the turf tracer, 21-inch mower, things like that, you're using two hands predominantly for it. 21-inch mower, you can sometimes get away with one hand, but not for very long, just for short bits. But anytime you have it mounted directly to a piece of equipment, that equipment is vibrating and bouncing around and stuff, and it causes just too much distortion in the actual video. Where it's good is when you're holding the selfie stick, because your arm becomes a natural sort of like rock steady type system, right? A natural motion deflection type system, and absorbs your brain. It's amazing. Like you'll be mowing and your brain is kind of without even consciously knowing about it, it's steadying that camera. And then the footage turns out fantastic. So the only times I could ever really use it was with, like I said, the backpack blower. I couldn't use it with a string trimmer because I had needed both hands on the string trimmer. They had little systems that you could do and you could try to mount it to yourself stuff, but it was never as good because, it was still bouncing around. It was only when you could hold it in your hand where your kind of brain was kind of taking over, sort of naturally holding it and buffering sort of any of those vibrations and stuff. The only other time it was good was on my Navigator. And a walker would be similar because those mowers you steer with one hand. So you still have one hand free. So I was able to like literally hold the selfie stick, fully extended out, with that 360 camera, and it looked like, you know, I was had this camera flying beside me as I was, you know, mowing along and stuff. And with that, it worked. But anything else where I needed two hands, like the turf tracer, you can't let go. You need both hands on the controls to be able to steer it and stuff. It wouldn't work. A normal zero turn probably wouldn't work, where you got the sort of the lap bars for steering. You know, it wouldn't work for something like that. So I ended up returning it because it was pretty costly for the whole kit with the batteries and all stuff. It was like $700. And it was like, well, you know, how many backpack videos am I going to do or things like that, that I'm going to be using this on? So I decided to just return it. And with that, I discovered, kind of looking at their product lines or websites and things like that, this other camera that I had alluded to, the Insta360 Go 2. This camera is amazing. It is tiny, and it is inside a case that looks like a Apple AirPods charging case, but it has so many hidden features and tricks. For one, the camera is sort of like pill shaped. It's tiny. The whole front of the camera body is a button, excluding the lens, of course. So you press it, to turn it on and, get it to record. You press it to turn it off. It has vibration feedback. So it'll do like a short little vibration when you press it and you know it's recording. When you press it again to turn it off, it does a, like a long vibration to tell you that, hey, yeah, it got that message. It's, you know, it's stopping the recording. The back of that little pill camera, and it's like literally, if you look at your thumb, it's probably about the size of your thumb. The back of the camera is magnetic, so it sticks on anything. So it's like anything metal is your tripod. So I have put this thing on, like, I'll pull it out of my pocket. Like I said, it looks like an AirPods case. I open it up. I pull the camera out of it. The case is charging the camera itself. So it's got a built-in battery in the case that charges the camera. I stick that to any stop sign, light pole, or anything like that that's facing the lawn that I'm mowing. I can mow. People are walking by it. They don't even see it because it is tiny sitting there. So it's super inconspicuous, and just fantastic. Fire hydrants work. Those are metal that it'll stick to, like anything metal, it'll stick to my truck, my trailer. If I'm parked, you know, in front of the lawn, I just stick it to the trailer and film, whatever I'm filming. The other very cool feature about this particular camera, besides how tiny it is, and when I say tiny, I have, with its magnetic feature, I have stuck this to the inside of my Bluebird aerators where the tines are, and just stuck it to the side because it's magnetic inside to get a view of the tines aerating as I'm going. And because it's so tiny, it doesn't get in the way. It doesn't, it's like amazing. The possibilities for this camera are pretty endless on what you can do with it. The it comes with a couple of cool accessories. One of them is a clip for your hat that you stick on the brim of your hat, and then it has a little pod, the shape of the camera, and of course, because the camera's magnetic, it just snaps in there. So you can snap it in there, you can angle it down. So as you're mowing and stuff or trimming and things like that, you've got a, you know, a downwards view of whatever you're doing. Again, it's so tiny that it doesn't get in the way. It comes with a little necklace, basically. That's just a string with a round disc that you stick underneath your shirt, and it provides a surface that it can magnetically attach to, you know, over your shirt. So you, I can just stick it to my shirt to get sort of a forward view. With, you know, it sticks to that necklace underneath, and I get a forward view that way. The little charging case also has little tripod legs in it, so it can open up like a clamshell, extend legs, and you can set it down on something and use it sort of like a little tripod to record. That charging case also has controls on it for record, a little screen on it, so you can go through menu settings and stuff, and you can use it from a distance. So if I say I stick that camera on a light pole, but I don't want to quite start recording yet because I'm not ready, you know, I can stick it on the light pole, you know, go do set up whatever I'm doing, and then I can use the controller in the little charging case to hit record, and it'll show me on the screen that it's recording and the little countdown timer going, and I know that the camera's recording. The camera itself has a light and stuff you can have on or off. I have the light set to off just because I want it to be inconspicuous, so I don't want it to, you'll have a light turn on when I'm recording and stuff like that. I have it turned off so that, you know, when it's on the street and people are walking by and stuff, it's not like sticking out. You know, because it's so small, it's the camera body is white, the lens is black. On my trailer, with a black trailer with the my logo's green, but it has like the white website letters and stuff like that, I stick it on, like, you know, on top of those white letters and stuff, it disappears because the camera's white. You wouldn't even, you know, see it walking by, that there's a camera there filming me recording. I love it for that, to be able to capture footage and stuff like that so quickly, easily. I grab it, you put it back in the case, it starts charging again, and away you go. Then you can download the clips using the app, the Insta360 app onto your phone. It's got editing right in the app. You can edit the videos and stuff. Now, the cool thing, the other very cool thing about this camera is that it can record in like a regular mode. And of course you can, like a GoPro, it is like a full action camera. The little camera pod itself is fully waterproof. Little remote control charging case is not, but the camera itself is waterproof, so it can be outside, it can be, use it for sports, skiing, stuff like that. But the other cool thing is that it's got a couple modes. It'll record video like normal, but it also has a pro video mode, they call it, basically. And basically what that is I guess using kind of like their 360 technology, it will record in a full kind of like circle. So what this allows you to do then is you can record in the pro video mode. It uses a bit more memory to record in that, but then it allows you after the fact to record or to decide what aspect ratio you want to use. And you can, the file is always the same, so you can go back in. So say if I want like landscape mode, so if I say I'm doing, I'm filming myself using the new Crest mower or something like that, right? So I stick it on a light pole. I film myself mowing somebody's lawn, whatever the case may be. Then I go after and I'm like, hey, that was pretty cool. That turned out really good. I look at it and say, oh, I want to use this clip for, you know, a review video on YouTube. Well, I can select that I want it to be 16:9, sort of landscape mode, right? And it'll output a file for me of that video in 16:9 landscape mode. But then I look and go, hey, you know, that'd be really cool if I could use that on Instagram, like on a story or TikTok. No problem. Change the aspect ratio to 9:16. So now that it's in vertical mode, and because it's recorded an entire circle, it's not cropping per se. You're not losing any information because it's recorded way more of the information that you would need. So when you think about like a landscape mode, if you're looking at sort of like a standard YouTube video, and you think about that being recorded in a circle, so the top of the circle is being cut off and the bottom of the circle is being cut off, and it's just keeping the middle section of the circle as the 16:9 frame. But if I were to record, say, want to use that video for, you know, TikTok, so in the YouTube version, it would have like me in the middle, say, and you'd see more of the sides of the yard. But say I want to use it on TikTok, well, now it's going to, you know, use that same sort of thing, but instead it's going to be the left and the right cut off, and it's going to keep the middle, but now it's going to show me the top and the bottom that it had previously cut off for the, you know, version that I wanted for YouTube. Because it's not like shrinking, or it's not like taking a standard camera, video camera, like say a GoPro or something that's recording just in landscape mode and cropping it to, and then stretching it to fit for like TikTok. It's literally recording in, it literally can record vertical and horizontal at the same time because it's recording in a whole circle, and then you're picking. And then the other neat thing is that it can do square video too. Because why not? It's there, right? It just crops the top, bottom, and the two sides of the circle off and just leaves a perfect square in the middle if you want to put like on you, like Instagram, if you want to do like a square video. So that camera there is absolutely fantastic. It doesn't do 4K, at least the version I have doesn't. The new it's a 360 Go 3 might. The Go 2 doesn't. It does 2.7K. Again, for me, I just do them all in 1080p, but a lot of the videos that you'll see on like my Instagram stories or TikTok, YouTube shorts, if it's like an action of me using a piece of equipment or something like that, it was probably filmed on the Insta 360 Go 2. A good key for that one is if the colors are really saturated and rich looking, then it was probably done on that camera, because that camera has a lot more saturation. But that camera is a hidden little gem. Fantastic if you're doing equipment reviews, things like that. Just a fantastic camera. I like that one so much that I'm considering getting a second one, just to have two of them at the same time, because they're so small, so inconspicuous. You can just do so much for them. The only downside with those cameras is there's no audio in jack. Of course, you can't use external mics. And the audio is okay, that it records on board, but it's not the greatest. But it's great for like that B-roll, capturing footage and things like that. But I wouldn't particularly use it, obviously, if you're like talking into the camera and things like that. I'll tend to use, if I'm doing something like that, either use my phone for like the talking bits if I'm talking into it and planning, like, you know, something like that, or I'll use that the DJI Osmo Action or things like that. Honorable mention, I have as well a DJI Mavic Mini drone. I don't use it too often. Something I definitely should use more often. The reason I don't use it is I have the very first version, so it doesn't have any of the tracking functions and things like that. I have it because of its weight, the under 249 gram specification, which allows me to basically own a drone, because the drone laws here in Canada are very strict, and you can't have anything over 249 without having a license and having it registered and insurance and all that sort of stuff. And then it opens you up to a whole bunch of rules where you can't even fly it anyways. So by having it 249 grams or less, then you're basically, anybody can own it. You don't need it registered. You don't need licenses and things like that. So when that first one came out, the first like Mavic Mini came out, that it, you know, it was in that range. It didn't have you know, any of those features and stuff, like obstacle avoidance and things like that, or audio, you know, auto track and things like that. So I can't do any of that stuff. I basically can fly it around something and look at things, or, you know, just have it hovering above me and stuff like that. And that's typically how I'll use it, is just to capture B-roll hovering and stuff while I'm mowing if I'm by myself, or I have used it with my son flying it. He's pretty good at flying it, so he'll capture me doing different things, flying around me and stuff while I'm you know, things. But that's typically, you know, reserved for just our backyard and stuff like that, because he's not with me at work and stuff. So it's, you know, trying out a mower in the backyard or things like that, the hill thing. But I will definitely see if I can use it some more. The new versions of the Mavic Minis have a lot more features, the auto track and stuff like that. And there is some ways around it with some other software instead of using DJI's Fly app. There's some other apps that you can use that kind of hack the system and let you do tracking and things like that. And there's some things I might look into and see if I can utilize it more, because I already have it, already paid for it. There's no sense in selling it and buying another one and that sort of stuff. And, you know, but I literally have had that for maybe three years now or so, and probably have, probably less than a dozen flights on it. It's one of those things where you get really excited about, you think you're going to use a lot more than you actually do. Yeah, just one of those things. Generally that's pretty much, how I have done most of my videos, up until this point. And that pretty much covers all of it, from, the computers, the software that I'm using for that stuff, the different cameras that I'm using, even to the podcast and what I'm doing there. And, you know, I would say that if you're thinking about doing a YouTube channel, the most important thing with it is just to do it. Don't worry too much about equipment or cameras and things. Don't think, the biggest trap you can fall into is thinking that you need expensive cameras, you need expensive gear and all that stuff. The most important thing is just to start doing it. You know, learning and, you know, you can build as you grow, but just get out there and do it. The phone in your pocket will get you a long ways. I used my phone for many, many years for all of my videos. There's lots of guys that just use their phones for their videos. It's more than enough for video quality. The stabilization on most phones is absolutely fantastic as well. The audio quality and all that stuff, you can edit right on your phone in most cases. Don't let that be a barrier to you if it's something that, you know, you can't afford to buy cameras and things like that. The phone will do everything. It'll do vertical videos. It'll do horizontal videos. You can, it's right there to edit. You can post right there to your Instagram and YouTube and all that sort of stuff. That's the most important piece that you need is your phone. Everything else you can add to and build and go down the rabbit holes and all that sort of stuff, but it's not going to make you better. That's about it. Just wanted to, like I said, I had a bunch of people asking me about it. Individually about what I use, what cameras I use, how I edit and all that sort of stuff. And I just thought I would, a good way to do it is to do it on a podcast episode, and then I can kind of refer people to that when I get those questions in the future, and they can listen to this episode. So I think that about wraps it up. Actually, I thought I was going to keep this to being a short episode. It looks like it's actually a little bit longer than the last few episodes by about 5 minutes or so. So again, I apologize for sort of the nasally and clearing my throat and sort of stuff. Hopefully this cold will be done in the next few days and can get back to feeling a bit better. So that's it for this one, guys. Here's to wishing you guys all overwhelming success and freedom in your lawn care business. Bye for now.